Father, as always, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp to our feet. It's a light to our path. It brings even that light into our hearts and gives us understanding. So let it be this morning as we look into your word to get refreshing from it, understanding and encouragement. Give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, I'm going to read a story here. I alluded to this story yesterday. I didn't read it. I want to read it today. But before I do, on the subject of divine appointments, in case you missed yesterday's room, a divine appointment can be thought of as a meeting that was inspired or arranged by God between one or more participants who may or may not be aware of it. For the most part, they may not be aware of it. And even they are aware, they may not know what God is planning. And we're going to look at a couple of different ways here today. Sometimes, it can also be something that we are praying about, but we don't know exactly how God's going to do it. And we're might be praying for direction, might be praying for God to, do something, but we don't know exactly how he's going to do it. We'll see that in the first story that I'm going to read here today. But for the most part, there are, a lot of stories in the Bible where, the participants in that appointment, orchestrated by God did not even know, what to expect or did not even know what, was going to happen. So let's look at this first story in Genesis 24. This is the story of Abraham, who has his servant to go find a wife for his son. Hallelujah. So, now, guess what he said. Abraham said unto his servant, it says in Genesis 24 and verse 6, he said, beware that thou bring, not my son again here. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and swear unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, and he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this thy oath, only bring not my son did that again. So Abraham was trying to make provision for his son, made his servant swear, and then you're going to go find a wife for my son, go to such and such a place. He didn't want, his son to get a wife from strange lands, for any of the daughters of Canaanites, he said, but you have to go back to my own country and get someone from there. So anyway, that's the background of the story. So he made the servant swear. And so the servant took 10 camels, saw the camels of his master and departed. He took all the goods of his master that were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor, which is, kind of the place where Abraham came from. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women went out to draw water. And here was his prayer. So let's take a look at this, his prayer. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Now, this was a faithful servant. I mean, he was all about his master's business. Praise the Lord. And, this story reminds us prophetically, of the work of the Holy Spirit to take out a bride for Christ. But anyway, let's keep reading here. Behold, I stand here by the well of water. And as the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water, let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, so you see, in this case, this man is praying for God to intervene in his situation. He's actually praying about it. And he says, let it be that whomsoever among the daughters of the men of the city that come out to draw water, and I say to her, let down your pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink. And furthermore, I will give thy camels drink also. You know, let that be the same that you have appointed. So that's a divine appointment. Let that be the same that you have appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. So he was actually praying in this case. Well, I've been sent to this place. How in the world am I going to know who to choose? Well, I'm going to pray that the Lord will, you know, appoint it. You know, so when the Lord appoints it, the Lord said, he said, look, let it be such and such that when I give and, you know, ask someone to give me water among all these girls, she will not only agree to give me water, but she will say, I'm going to give you your camels also. That should be the one. That was his prayer. And he said, well, let that be the one that you have appointed. So we see he's actually, in his case, praying for a divine appointment to manifest itself to him in the way that, you know, he had prayed. And it came to pass, you know, as he was praying, well, after a while, the girls came to draw water. You know, Rebecca, she came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher on her shoulder. Well, at the time, Abraham's servant didn't know it was Rebecca or who she was. You know, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came out. And the servant went towards her, ran towards her, and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water out of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking. Now, so the exact prayers that this servant was praying, I said, show me a sign that this person that will do this and then do that, let it be the person that you have appointed for my master's son, you know. And then the man was wondering, because she drew water, she ran to the well, drew water for all his camels, and he was just looking. And the man was wondering at her. He held his peace and he was trying to figure out, is this the Lord's answer to my prayer? Has the Lord made my journey prosperous or not? And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring, you know, some of the things he had, you know, possibly for presents and things like that, and said, whose daughter are you? You know? And she said, well, tell me, he said, I pray, is there room in thy father's house that I may lodge in? She said, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah. And she bare unto Nahor. And moreover, she said unto me, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man recognized the name, because he knew the name of Nahor. And he said, wow, the Lord has done the thing that I asked. He has led me to the house of my master to pick out a wife for him. Well, back in the day, that's how they used to do, you know, marry from their own lineage, you know. So, and he said, the Lord has not left my master destitute of his mercy and his truth. I be in the way, not knowing where I'm going. And the Lord has now led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them everything, you know, from mother's house, these things, you know. So the story is such that in this particular case, the man was praying for guidance, and providence was watching over that. You know, it will be the person, God is going to direct one person to fulfill this, his prayers. And by that, he will know that that's the one that the Lord had appointed. So this was a case where he actually prayed, you know, for that direction. And so that tells us that we can actually pray. We can do the same kind of prayer, you know, and just see how the Lord's going to work things out. You know, if you're looking for direction and you don't know quite the way it should go, well, you can pray. The Holy Spirit might put in your heart to pray and say, Lord, you know, let it be that if this and this will happen, well, then that will be that and that, you know, and that will show me that that's a sign of what you have appointed, you know, and there are many ways that God can intervene, you know, into our lives. You know, we need to give the Lord permission to do so. You know, if you give the Lord permission to interrupt your day, interfere with your life, I use that word interfere loosely because we are not our own anyway, you know, we belong to Him. You know, but just, you know, let's just talk from a man's perspective. You're going about your day and so on and so forth. You know, you may not know what the day is going to bring. Actually, none of us knows what the day is going to bring. The best we can do is pray and command the day in the womb of the morning. You know, we can do that. And you can say, well, let the lines be falling onto me in pleasant places today. And you can command good things for yourself, for your children, for their seed after them. You can command the favor of God upon you and so on and so forth. You can command and bind the works of darkness and so forth that you may have a prosperous and pleasant day. But nobody actually knows how the day is going to turn out. You know, but you can also pray and turn over, you know, the reins of your day to the Lord and give Him permission to interrupt the day. And when you do that, that's an opening, you're opening things up for heaven to make divine appointments for you, you know, and even when you don't know it, when you least expect it, God can do great things, you know. God can even take what we think are mistakes, you know. You may be going on, you may be going to a place driving and you may take a wrong turn and say, oh my goodness, I took a wrong turn. But it might be a divine appointment. It might be the angel of the Lord, you know, that caused you to do that. You know, when I was a young man, I read, you know, I was trying to understand, you know, how the angels of the Lord walked. The Lord caused me to read something. I saw how that the angels of the Lord may actually do what we think is not right in order to bring out the goodness and mercy and kindness of God in our lives, you know, and, you know, so they have charge. The angel of the Lord is given charge to go out and minister on your behalf, make certain things happen. Well, so if you're trying to go down the wrong path, the angel of the Lord may steer you in a different direction. And you may not know why you took that direction until something else happens later on. Yeah, the angel of the Lord may even cause you to miss what you thought was an appointment because the Lord was trying to save you from evil and prepare you for God's own appointment. The angel of the Lord's been known to do all kinds of things like that. You know, for instance, you're trying to get out in a hurry out of the house. You can't find your keys, your car keys. You look everywhere. You can't find them, you know, and the angel of the Lord may temporarily just smite you with blindness in order to, you know, deliver you from some accident that you are about to get into if you went out at that very time. And then you look all over the place, you can't find the keys. And at that time, you are frantic. You know, you panic. I've known people to even say a few bad words in situations like that. But, you know, at the end of the day, after the evil is past, you find the keys in plain sight. I'm like, I've looked all over here. Why didn't I see the keys? Now, we've seen in the Bible where the angel of the Lord smote, you know, the men of Israel. I mean, not the men of Lot and Sodom. Where Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, smote them until they wearied themselves. They couldn't find the door. Smote them with blindness. We've seen where, you know, the angel of the Lord, you know, in the case of, you know, Elisha and so forth, you know, cause the army that will come, you know, to smite them with blindness, can't see anything, you know, and all of that. So we see that the Lord can do all these things. But what we want to focus about today, I'm going to let you give your testimonies as well, is to recognize that God is working, you know, in even things that we may not understand. So that's the purpose of yesterday's lesson and today's follow-up. You may or may not understand it, you know, and how God may lead you into something that you don't understand. And if we begin to trust the Lord enough, you know, God can actually give us great understanding to know that there may be a purpose in even when you meet random people. Take advantage of the situation. Seize the moment. There may be something that God is doing. You know, God may send you to a place and, you know, the first person that you meet might be the person that you need to meet. I have many testimonies like that in my life. I'm not going to say any of that today. I'm going to turn it over in a bit for you to give your testimonies. But you're going to a place that you don't know. And, you know, God just arranged that, you know, somebody, you know, that you meet is going to be somebody that is going to help you figure out what you're doing. So prepare your testimonies for us to understand what the Lord is doing here. Some of the stories that I told you also yesterday, Elijah and the widow woman at Zarephath, this is just a follow-up, interesting, many interesting aspects in that story. You know, when God said he had arranged something, but neither the prophet nor the woman knew anything about it. Well, the prophet had an idea the moment that God told him that I've arranged for a widow woman to sustain you. But the widow woman herself knew nothing about it. This is a perfect, you know, example of how God, you know, arranges a divine appointment, that the participants may know nothing about what God is going to have them do. You know, the woman could not even sustain herself, let alone sustain Elijah. I mean, she was about to die, she thought in her heart. You know, this is my last meal. I'm going to prepare it. My son and I will eat it, and we will die. This is what was in her head. I wasn't thinking, of sustaining anybody. So she knew absolutely nothing about what God was cooking. You know, but the prophet had an idea because God had told him, but he didn't know who it was. But once he got there, being a prophet, began to sense in the spirit that this might be the woman. And the first words out of the mouth of the woman when he asked her something, you know, was completely opposite to what God had told him. I mean, God had told him that this woman would sustain you. I mean, you would have thought that he would meet a very wealthy woman who had a lot of substance and, you know, everything great, abundance and so on to sustain him. So that's what the Lord, you know, kind of indicated. I prepared somebody to sustain you. Somebody who's going to sustain you must have the means to sustain you. Well, this woman didn't have the means. You know, so there's a lot of lesson. I didn't go into all of this yesterday, but I want to bring it out here. There's a lot of lesson in this story, you know. Once God speaks the word, that's all that matters. You know, everything else will line up to bring that word to pass. You know, the woman that did not have the means, once God appointed that she will be the one to sustain Elijah, something needed to happen to make her to have those means. It's just that simple. And Elijah knew that because he was a man of God. You know, so when he said that to the woman, go get me something, you know, I pray thee and so forth. The woman said, like, I got nothing left in the house except this thing to make my last meal for my son and I, and we will die. Immediately, Elijah recognized in the spirit that there was a miracle in the making. That's right. Because this is the Lord, this is the woman that's going to sustain me. She has nothing. She's about to die. There's a miracle in the making. Yeah, no one is dying today, he said. You know, but you just go and do as I said. I mean, as you said, but bring me something first. For thus saith the Lord. Now, see, the word of the Lord came back to him. Say, this is the woman. You know, and now this is the woman, but she has nothing. So the word of the Lord come out and say, well, you know, there's going to be something that will happen. This little thing that you have that you thought is the last will not be the last, because God has said you use it to sustain me. Now, he didn't explain all of that to the woman, but he knew it in his heart. And he brought the word of God like that, you know. And of course, you know the rest of the story. You know, they ate off of that, you know, last measure of flour that was left. They ate off of that little cup of oil that was left for many, many days. I mean, it was like the thing never ran out. You just, you know, anytime they needed, she made, you know, you went in there, pulled out some more. Praise God. You know, because of the word of the Lord that prepared that appointment. Now, so you see, in the one case, in the case of Abraham's servant, he was praying about it. In the case of Elijah, he didn't know about it. God told him, but the woman knew nothing. Neither did, you know, Rebecca know anything. See, you know, in both of these cases, at least one of them had, you know, some idea of what, the, you know, is going to happen. The other person had absolutely no clue. Rebecca had no clue what was going on. She had no idea what this man had been praying. She had no idea what was being planned. Neither did this widow woman. But those were the appointments. That's how God's appointment works. You know, God had appointed, you know, something good to happen. And whether or not the participants know about it, you know, as long as it's God's appointment, it is going to come to pass. Praise the Lord. So I told you a few other stories yesterday. I won't go into any of those too much today. I just wanted to, you know, bring out this thing. There is also a an element in divine appointment where fear, you know, meets with God's favor. You know, people are going into a situation fearful. Even sometimes maybe fearful for their lives and not knowing what to expect. But God turning it around, because God had done something and prepared something that they knew nothing about, you know, in the heart of the other person. They were thinking and hoping for it, but God all stepped in and gave them favor. You know, when Esther was going before the king, she said, well, if I perish, I perish. But you guys go pray for me. You know, I can't go before the king without being summoned. Anybody that does that, it's on the penalty of death. You know, however, her uncle said, you are going to do it. But don't think that just being in the palace, you will be safe if you don't do it. You know, and if you don't do it, God's going to raise somebody else up. Well, but how do you know whether or not, you know, it was God that positioned you for such a time as this? And again, that those are elements of divine appointment. You know, there are many things that God was planning, and God knew that this, the Jews would be at the risk of being, you know, destroyed, all of them, and positioned Esther there and gave her favor, you know, and the uncle was pointing it out to her that, look, you know, this may be the reason why God put you here. So anyway, when she went before the king, you know, it was either if she didn't find favor before the king, she you know, she was fearful. You know, hey, you know, I may be killed. Uncle said, you're going to be killed anyway. Don't think you're going to escape. You know, these people that are planning to kill us, they are not going to let even the Jews that are in the palace escape. He's going to get a hold of you as well. You know, so you go before the king and you do it as I say. So, you know, well, she fasted and commanded everybody to fast for her for 3 days, and she went. And lo and behold, God turned her fear into something else. You know, she was fearful initially, you know, but she got out some courage after prayer and went. And as soon as she appeared in the court, the king was right there. And the king stretched out the golden scepter. Now that was the clearance that she had obtained favor. It was either thumbs up or thumbs down if you appear like that. Thumbs down means you're going to be killed for, you know, encroaching on the king's time without being summoned. Thumbs up means, well, you know, come on in. Let me hear what you got to say. Well, when the king put out that golden scepter like that, God turned the situation around. I mean, not only did she find favor, she obtained tremendous favor. And the king said, look, anything you want, even to the half of the kingdom. She wasn't even asking for all of that. And something else in her mind. God gave her wisdom. You know, string, just string the king along for a while, and so on and so forth. You know the story. But, you know, God turned that situation of fear, and she went in on unknown, you know, like that. Well, let me tell you another story of a man. Providence was working for them in his life, you know, due to something that his father had paid forward. That's right. Paid forward. Glory to God. Now, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'll tell you this story, then I'll turn over to hear your own testimonies. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 9, David one day suddenly said, look, is there yet any man of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness because of Jonathan? Now, remember all the things that Jonathan did for David, how he saved David out of his father's hand many times, you know, by giving him intelligence of your father. My father is coming after you, so run for your life, you know, things like that. Anyway, so Jonathan is gone. Saul is gone. David is now king. And he's remembering the kindness of Jonathan and say, look, who else is left? You know, because, you know, they had killed all the sons of Saul. And only one of them escaped. And this man's name that escaped was called Mephibosheth. And he was lame. You know, but somehow God had mercy on him. He was able to escape. Somebody hid him. You know. And anyway, there was one of the servants of Saul, whose name was Ziba, said to David, he said, look, you know, there is somebody. David asked him, and he said, yeah, there's one of Jonathan's sons somewhere, you know, but he's lame on his feet. Well, and David said, well, go fetch him. So they brought this man, and this man, Mephibosheth, when he was coming to David, in his mind, it's like, well, this is a day of gloom and darkness. Let me prepare my heart to go and meet my fathers. Because he thought David for sure was going to kill him, you know, because of all the things I saw I done to David. And so he came there. He was afraid for his life. But when he got there, you know, God turned the tables. There was something that God was cooking for this Mephibosheth because of the things that his father had paid forward. There were a lot of kindness that the father did. Now he's going to, you know, Mephibosheth is going to reap it now, but he thought he's going to be killed. You know, so when he came, he was trembling before David and he was afraid for his life. And David said, fear not, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to show you kindness because of your father, Jonathan. And I'm going to restore to you all, that's right, all that Saul your father had, from the time that Saul was king until now, everything, you're going to get it. Glory to God. You talk about quantum leap. This was one of my quantum leap stories, you know. And then this man said, well, my goodness, how should you look upon such a dead dog as I am? And not only that, David said to Ziba, who was Saul's servant, said, you and all the servants of the household of Saul, you are now reporting to this man as of today. And everything that Saul had, this man is now going to get it. Appoint officers, give him everything. And on top of that, this man, prepare him a place. That's right. On my table, he would now eat with the sons of the king, the princes, all the days of his life. You talk about a quantum leap. The Lord taketh the beggar, taketh the nobody out of the dunghill to set him among princes. And he did exactly that. And this man, God used this man's fear. He didn't know what to expect when they called him into that meeting. David was the only one that knew what was in his heart that he was going to do. But this other man thought that his life was going to be, you know, killed. I mean, he was going to be killed that day. You know, that was the end of the journey for him. But lo and behold, you know, he experienced a quantum leap. Now, ladies and gentlemen, there may be things that the Lord is cooking that you don't know anything about. You know, but let's trust God. In this year, there are so many ways that God can bring to pass his word upon you. You know, and once the Lord speaks the word, he has an innumerable company of angels that can bring it to pass. You know, but even one angel alone is enough to do it. Because the Lord said, look, one time the Lord showed us a vision. I mean, showed us an understanding of Micah that saw the vision of, you know, God calling a council meeting in heaven and said, well, who's going to go down there to persuade Ahab to fall at Ramoth Gilead? One of them jumped up, said this, the other jumped up, said that. And I said, nah. And then one of them came forth and said, you know, and then, you know, sometimes, you know, some of these spirits, they come too. And they say, well, you know, I'm going to go forth and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets, you know, because say, I will prevail. And the Lord said, how? I said, well, I'll be a lying spirit. And I said, okay, cool. You know, go do it. But from that story, even though it was a negative story, we learn that the Lord can have these council meetings and say, all right, well, it's been a long time that this, my daughter has been believing for this thing. Now she's finally found out, you know, how to speak my word. Because, you know, that's the devil's accuser. He always would come before the Lord and say, you can't do anything for her because she's not speaking your word. You know that heaven has no permission to do that because she's not speaking your word. That's how he's an accuser of the bread. That's what he does. And the Lord said, we'll see about that. She'll come around. And then one day she came around and she began to speak the word of God and say, let it be unto me according to thy word. That moment, Lord said, yeah, it's time. Come over here and say, who's going to go down there and make sure that my daughter gets what she's now declaring? And all of them jump up and say, now you go do it. See to it. That's right. You know, and God will make sure, you know, the moment you believe his word, and send those angels into operation. As a matter of fact, you know, he already gave charge to some of the angels, said, look, you'll be listening in. You know, I really can't go, you know, against the principles of heaven. But, you know, you go there, make sure that you bring them to the point where they will, I'll declare my word. You know, so the angel of God may squeeze your life a little bit. Oh, yeah, they can do that too. You know, because, you know, as the eagles tear her nest, that's how the Lord does. You know, the eagle mother wants the little one to fly, and the little one doesn't want to fly, so they make their nest with thorns and make the place uncomfortable and, you know, try to get the thing out of there. But the thing doesn't want to get out of there, you know, so stir up the nest and so forth. Shake things up. Try to get the thing out of there. The thing doesn't want to get out of there, the little eaglet. So the mother eaglet, what does she do? If she's tried everything, this eagle will not fly. But eagles are meant to fly. You know, can't just lay in the nest. Well, so what he's going to do, and you know, see, eagle mother, she's very smart. So he said, well, I'm going to figure something out. So she takes the little one, and in her beaks, carries her up way high, you know, and then drops her. So, well, fly if you want, or die if you don't. And then, you know, before you know it, that thing begins to flutter her wings, you know, and so forth, you know. And so that's how the Lord also sometimes, he gives the angels charge, you know, make their situation a little bit uncomfortable so that they can turn to my word. You know, God can do all these things, you know, cause the brook to dry up, you know, so that I can send them someplace else. As long as they're in that place, you know, then they won't, you know, experience the next level of what God wants you to experience. So cause that situation to dry up. Shake things up there a little bit. And those angels, they have their orders. And when those angels appear, you try to make them do something else. They say, I've got my orders. That's it. angels of God, they take their instruction from the Lord, not from any man. You can't do it. The only way you can do it is speak the word. That's all, the only thing they respond to. You know, you can't command angels to do this and do that. You know, no. But you can speak the word. And when you do, according to Psalm 103 verse 20, angels will go into action. So ladies and gentlemen, that's our lesson today. I'm going to leave it there today. Just wanted to give a short lesson to follow up on yesterday's room and then give you chance to give testimonies or reaction on this. And I have a testimony that I will give, as you know, later on if time permits. I actually have two or three instances. I might give at least one of them of some divine appointments, you know, that helped me tremendously. So let's talk about it this morning. Father, I pray that your children have an understanding of this lesson. Hallelujah. And we know that our ways are before the Lord. And what the Lord has commanded in the heavens, that Lord, he has a lot of company to publish it upon the earth. And may we learn to depend upon his word. Hallelujah. And depend upon his goodness and his kindness and the covenant of his mercy that he promised that will never remove from us. And the Lord, his favor is towards his people. You know, may we experience divine appointments day after day to bring us into the favor of the Lord and cause you even to experience quantum leap throughout this year in many areas hitherto we thought were unattainable. The Lord can do it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.